Trevor was always quite keen that we change the name of the church, because he said churches which are called things like Spirit of Christ are much better attended than ones that stick to the old Free Church Baptist Methodist. And I hadn't thought until now that we could call it the Motley Crue Church and see who comes. The geriatrics. Right. We're looking at John the Baptist, and surprisingly I have a Baptist study Bible which has all sorts of charts in about all sorts of people and nothing about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, I must decrease, and I think he's disappeared altogether from that one. But if we turn to Matthew chapter 11, page 976. Beginning at verse 1, chapter 11 of Matthew, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who doesn't fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you. You will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I don't know what your image of John the Baptist is. I must say that mine is very much affected by Hollywood, and in particular Michael York, a sort of late middle-aged person, large, shaggy, wearing a bearskin. Whereas in fact, he was of course only about 6 months older than Jesus, and from the same family. He wore camel hair, and he lived on locusts and honey. Not recommended by Slimming World, but not the kind of thing that you would put lots of pounds on, such as a Hollywood actor. And the thing that really upsets me about Hollywood actors playing prophets and so on is their wonderful shining white teeth with their white veneers. There's a whole section of the Bible missing on the teeth care in the Old Testament. He's seen as he rejects the idea that he is another Elijah, but Jesus so honors him that he is compared to one. And it's said that he has one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New Testament. And Jesus, of course, grew up in Galilee. John grew up in the desert, but they were kinsmen. They were probably cousins, second cousins. Elizabeth was probably Mary's aunt. And so it wasn't far for young active men to meet each other and to talk and to thrash out things about the law and the Torah. And John, although we don't read a great deal about him, had a worldwide ministry. Apollos in Corinth, the one whom Paul says, some are for him and some are for me, was one of John's followers. And in Paul, when he got to Ephesus, found many followers who knew only the baptism of John. So his influence has gone much wider than we tend to think. And he certainly did the great job of preparing the disciples. And we understand that James and John and Andrew were all John's disciples. And John was great enough to allow them to leave him and follow Jesus in Seth's stead. It's a great gift to be humble and to recognize the need of others for support, to pass on your disciples and to give up your own claims on them. And he is, of course, the first to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. The baptism of Christ isn't recorded in John's Gospel because John knew it had been written down elsewhere. So he didn't bother to put that in. Instead, he reminds people that John recognized the Son of God when he was coming. So here John sees the fulfillment of this great message that he's been carrying for 30 years. And he was probably only 31 when he was executed. Another thing that Hollywood doesn't seem to realize. But then later, when he is arrested, when he is in prison, when he's by himself in what is presumably a third world cell, crowded, dank, dirty, very hard for anyone used to wide open spaces. When we were talking about current affairs at school and the young people would talk about prisoners only getting 6 months, I said, well, for your homework, suggest that your parents lock you in your bedroom all day Saturday without any television or any games or anything and see how you feel at the end of the day. Because for someone who's used to the desert, who's used to making his own way, even to be crowded in a cell, perhaps by himself, perhaps with others, is very difficult. And perhaps he realizes that the only way out is his execution or death. So he's depressed and he's anxious, and he begins to question, because Jesus isn't looking like the Messiah he expected and he preached about. He expected an avenging angel to come as a general to get rid of the Romans, that's just for a start, and then to sort out Israel and bring them back to God. And instead, here comes someone partying, mixing with a motley crew, all sorts of people the saintly wouldn't be seen dead with, preaching reconciliation and love rather than hell and damnation. Now many come to see Jesus for what they can get and are disappointed. We had a couple come at our South Sea church and they really wanted God, this is in the 1980s, to give them £2,000 to clear their credit cards, but he didn't do it. We had a businessman who came wanting a big contract from an international firm, and he didn't get it and was bitterly disappointed. The international firm went bust within a year, but nevertheless, he was disappointed that he didn't get his recognition. Many come to Christ for healing and get it, but then ignore Jesus as the giver of the healing and don't commit their lives to him. Christ comes to us in very unexpected ways, in gentle ways. The disciples went back to John and explained that they had seen these miracles and these wonderful things, and hopefully that brought John comfort in his last days. But Jesus comes whispering rather than blazing through a megaphone. And when we are tempted in despair, often because of our circumstances, whether bereavement or illness, or if we've got our lives sorted, our children haven't, have they? There's always something that we can worry about in the middle of the night. And although there's a great gift of a new baby, we know all the pitfalls and the problems, both for the parents and the child. And when we are in those situations of questioning and despair, we look for the gentle renewing of the Spirit of Christ, for his comforting words from the Bible. And we lean on his promises, knowing that we can trust him for the future, as well as whatever he may send us. Amen.
Yes, the Lord has given me an impression for us this morning in this particular reading. And I'll just read a few verses that are from St. Luke's Gospel. I've got to find the right verse. Verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." And as I read that, I got the impression that Jesus, the great secret in this is where Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And it's as if the whole of everything comes to a point, a pivot, which is the pivot on Jesus. Everything in our lives has to do with pivoting on Jesus. He's the centre, he's got to be the centre of our lives. If we're going to get anywhere as a church, other people, Jesus has to be first in our lives. He's got to be there at the centre. Remember me. We so often remember so much else, don't we? But we tend perhaps not to remember Jesus as much as we ought. And this is wonderful that we've got this supper that we can celebrate together, because it brings our minds, focuses our minds back onto Christ. And one of the great verses in here also is that I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you. Jesus has such a great desire to know us, and he wants us to know him in the same sort of way. And today we can do that. We can just come to Jesus very simply as we do in this offering of our lives to him. And I find that, I don't know, there's a song that Billy Graham used to sing about things being so wonderful, especially the fact that God loves us. Oh, the wonder of it all, he used to sing, the wonder of it all. And to me, lately, God has been speaking and working in such a way in my life, so many wonderful things he's doing that just prove his love to me in very simple ways. I'm not going into that, but I praise him that he's drawing me closer to him. The more I seek him, the more he reveals to me. We can do that this morning as we remember Jesus. What we're doing, we're seeking to receive him, letting him be the Lord and Saviour of our mind. It's wonderful, isn't it? When Jesus came into the world, he came specially for us, to die for us. Every one of us, and all of us by now, even then. Wonderful thought, we can't really imagine that. But when Jesus went to the cross, just think of the cosmic quake that must have gone through the spiritual world. We can't conceive of that. We didn't even know, it's so imperceptible. But in the spiritual realm, Christ changed the ground of our relationship with God. He changed the very structure of your destiny and mine, so that now we can walk to heaven instead of the devil. Couldn't do that before. All the thousands of lambs that were slain, and that all they could do was cover our sin, like you might quite made a stain here up a foot plate over it, as you wouldn't notice. And that's all that the Lord could do. It's all that the sacrifices could do with Jesus. And we come to him to walk in the light as he is in the light, and fellowship with one another, and his blood cleanses us from all sin, and reveals to us a new righteousness, which is by the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus. All that's in this coming together this morning. As we remember another wonderful thing to me in this is that as we remember the coming together of the people, it wasn't the oratory in the religious world, it wasn't all high society. It was people like you and me, just thought there might be through it, right? And I mean, just see, Jesus was sharing this revelation, really, of what he was going about to do on the cross. This is the new covenant in my blood. And he was telling it to Judas. He was sharing a meal with Judas, who was going to betray him. Judas was very amazed. He knew Peter was going to deny him 3 times, and Peter said, "No, I'll never do that, Lord. I'll die for you." All the others said the same, they said. And so people like us, Jesus knows our failings, he knows how we are. And yet he loves us so much, and he shares this meal with us, and he says, "Remember me this morning." I believe that's what we've got to do more and more as a church. We've got to remember Jesus. He is first, foremost in our life. Peter says that we're to sanctify him in our hearts. In other words, we're to make him Lord in our hearts. That's what Peter says in his first epistle. And that's what I want to do. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do. I want Jesus to be Lord in my life. And if we can be in, do that as a church, as we remember Jesus time and time again, it's wonderful together and to do that. So when we take the bread and when we drink the cup, what we're doing is we're fulfilling the words where Jesus said, "If you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. Give up what you need, deny yourself. And give our lives completely over to him." And this is what we do. When we're taking the bread this morning and we're drinking the wine, symbols of Christ's body broken and blood shed, life poured forth for us. You're saying, "Lord, I want to confirm what I've already done, given my life to you. I want to celebrate the fact that I am yours and that you are Lord of my life." If you want to do that this morning, please do so. I'll enjoy doing it with you. And I pray that we go on as a church that will grow, because as we give our lives to Jesus like that, he can do what he likes in our lives, can't he? You see, if we think so much, I'm very guilty of this, you think that you're doing something for God. And sometimes what you're doing becomes bodily. Instead of Jesus being the head, we think of the gift Christ has given us, we worship that. There's a tendency within us. It's got to go. We've got to give it all over to Jesus, and we've got to realise that Jesus takes us and he works in and through our lives. Just a few things. Sorry about my preaching, sir. But I'll hold my own with the Lord, sorry. But let's take the bread and drink the cup together, shall we? I wonder whatever this was. It's somebody and I don't know it, isn't it? So I might. And thank you for letting me lead the communion service. So first of all, we take the bread as Jesus took the bread. It was unleavened bread, by the way. Not this sort of bread, but it was unleavened bread. And we take it and we break it. And we eat it, as you know, when we receive it. And that will be followed by the wine. I believe John and May are going to come and take these to you, but I'll do wine as well now. This is the... Jesus said, this is my new covenant in my blood. He tells us to drink it all. The blood of Jesus washes white as snow.